We've been talking about trust. So open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5. Trust. Especially trusting in the Lord. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. See, trusting means assured reliance on the character, reliability, ability, strength, or truth of someone. One in which confidence is placed. And confidence means a firm trust. That is the Lord. So when He says, you can trust me, go ahead and jump. Jump. He'll be there to catch you. So our Bible tells us to trust in the Lord, period. Nothing else. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, chapter 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now let's amplify that a little bit from the classic edition. It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And as I showed you last week, I go over and I can lean on that wall. I can lean on that wall because I can trust that it's been anchored securely at its base and its top. So that gives me the confidence of knowing that it's not going to move. Do you get my point? And do not rely on your own insight or understanding. Do not. Always rely on the Lord. Trust in Him. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So we are to what? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And feed on His faithfulness. For He is faithful. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And we're going to read verses 3 and 4. But I'm going to read them to you from the Living Bible. Verse 3. He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. You want to have perfect peace? Trust in the Lord. Verse 4 says, trust in the Lord God always. Always. For in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength. He is the rock. He's the rock of ages. Amen? Amen? Now turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we're going to read that from the New Living Translation. Yeah, you know, it's led to me, and I got to read you. I wanted to read Scripture 7 and 8. But I think we need to listen to what it says in verse 5 in the New Living Translation. It says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength, and turn their hearts away from the Lord. Now, verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Confidence. Belief that one can rely on someone with an expectation of fulfillment. Amen. firm trust. Those who trust in the Lord are blessed. You want to be blessed? Trust in the Lord. That wasn't hard at all, was it? And those who trust in the Lord, well, verse 8, they, it's talking about you. You trust in the Lord? It's talking about you then. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Say, that's me. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Say, that's me. Their leaves stay green, and they never stop producing fruit. Say, that's me. When you trust the Lord, you will have an abundance of strength, not only for your own needs, but for the needs of others. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16. New King James. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. The word heed means to pay attention to. So if you pay attention to the word wisely, you're going to find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. You want to be happy? Trust in the Lord. As Phil Robinson would say, happy, happy, happy. Amen? That's for all you Duck Dynasty fans. Now I'll turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And we'll look to verse 10. It says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. His name is I Am. And as you seek him and continually put your trust in him, you can have the confidence that he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're facing, he's right there with you. He's the one who sticks closer than a brother. And that's Jesus. You can trust in Jesus, and that trust becomes stronger when you understand the grace. The grace that he gave to us when he came into this world as a babe. His grace can surely be trusted by you and me. And it's free. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely. Justified means to be declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Justified freely by his grace. The unmerited favor of God towards us. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion. It shall not have power It shall not have control. It shall not have authority over you. For you are not under the law, but you are under grace. What Jesus said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he is saying to us. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Grace. The devil doesn't want us to think about it, realize it, remember it, because there's so much power in its constant availability to us, his children. You know the do it again, daddy scenario? His favor and grace for you are inexhaustible because of his love for you. Daddy, do it again. Do it again. That's exactly how God wants us to be with him. He wants us to know that we can have that daddy, that loving father relationship with him at all times. Let me ask you, do you ever long for a few moments of childhood again? Do you ever desire to return to that innocence and simplicity, a time of no concerns about the future or regrets about the past? Do you ever think about a time when you were a child and you wish you could be like that child again? Nearly all of us want and long to feel like that child again. We want to experience again the innocence and the simplicity of that now long ago period. A time when there was no need to worry about the myriad of things that now press on us every day. A time when we were less concerned about how the world ultimately would play out and how would we fit into this world. We didn't care. When you were a kid, did you think about that? No. We all desire to recapture that innocence and simplicity of childhood. But we never will, at least not fully, because we can't go back, can we? Nope. There is, however, at least a dimension of that innocence and simplicity found in the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus told us that we must become like children. Turn to Luke 18, verse 17. Luke 18, verse 17. Jesus speaking, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Jesus said it. The kingdom of God consists of those who respond to him with the trust a child, little child, gives to a parent. Remember I told you about my grandson Jack and his dad Joe, that I told you if Jack would come up here and make his way and move this and stand right there. And his dad said, Jack, jump. Jack wouldn't give it a second thought. Jack would be airborne. Joe would catch him. Give him a hug, put him down. You know what? Jack would run up the steps, get up, climb there, says, do it again, Daddy. And he would keep doing it till, guess what? Joe's, I can't catch you no more. We got to take a break, Jack. Do it again. Little children have the faith and trust needed, therefore, to enter God's kingdom. See, we must approach him with childlike attitudes of acceptance, faith, and trust. See, as we mature, the ever-increasing responsibilities of life tend to strip away the innocence and the simplicity. But increased trusting in the Lord helps bring them back. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30. It's in the red, so we know that's Jesus speaking. He said, "Come to me, all you who labor." That is 28:72 in the Greek, which means feel fatigued or worried, and are heavily laden. 5:4:1:2 means overburdened, and I will give you rest. 3:73, it means he will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, 3:73, rest, means refreshing for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden, 5:4:1:3, task is light. Now I'm going to read you that from the Message Bible, because it even brings it out more. Remember, it's Jesus now. He says, "Are you tired? Worn out? Burn out on religion?" And you know, that stopped me right there when I got to that point in that scripture. Because years ago, that's what Pastor did for me. He took me aside and he looked at me and he says, "It's not about a religion that we have." He says, "What we have and what I teach is we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ when you accept him into your heart. It's a relationship. It's not a religion." That has spoke to me all these years. And guess what? In all these years that he's ministered, that's what he teaches. Relationship. Relationship with Jesus. Okay, let me get back on track. Let me start again. So Jesus says, "Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion?" Here's the relationship. "Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You won't have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders anymore. You trust in the Lord. Don't be fearful. Jump." When we fully trust God, when we climb up on Daddy's lap and know that regardless of the situation, everything is just fine, we become less weary, less burdened, and we will be refreshed. True relationship with the Lord recaptures a dimension of that long ago innocence and simplicity of childhood for us. Now, I am well aware that some people have had less than a desirable childhood. Perhaps there was a father who had no time to be a daddy. Or maybe he was physically or verbally abusive. Or perhaps there was no father present at all. All these unfortunate situations, they can implant a misunderstanding of our Heavenly Father. However, the truth is that none of us had a perfect childhood. All of our earthly fathers were flawed. Each of us, though, has some mental picture of an ideal father. And that ideal father, and much more, is what God wants to be to each and every one of us. The relationship that the Lord, our Abba Father, Daddy, wants to have with us is the innocent, unreasoning trust of a child, as well as the intellectual comprehension toward a loving parent who always wants what is best for us. Right? The Father knows best. Amen? There's a few of us here today that remember the show. Right? Father Knows Best. And it starred Robert Young and Jane Wyatt. Robert Young played the part of Jim Anderson, the father. Father Knows Best was the classic, wholesome family situation comedy. It was set in the typical Midwestern community of Springfield, where Jim Anderson was an agent, not a salesman, agent. Sherry, I picked up on that. I call y'all agents, not salesmen, for the General Insurance Company. Every evening, he would come home from work, take off his sport jacket, put on his comfortable sweater, and deal with the everyday problems of the growing family. In contrast to most of the other family comedies of that period, in which one of the parents was portrayed as thoughtless. But no, not these two. They were seen and portrayed as thoughtful and responsible adults. When a family crisis arose, Jim would calm the waters with a warm smile and some sensible advice. The Andersons were truly an idealized family, the sort the viewers could relate to and wish to emulate. The children went through the normal problems of growing up, including those concerning school, friends, and members of the opposite sex. They didn't always agree with their parents, but the bickering was minimal, and everything seemed to work out by the end of the half-hour show. I remember the son, Bud. He was the all-American boy who always had one job, and that was to answer the front door. If you remember the show, he always had to answer the door, and he hated that job. And he always used the phrase, "Holy cow." That was the way he expressed his displeasures. My point, a much simpler and much wholesome time. I meant you could go to the Father and sit down, and he's going to smile at you, and he's going to give you the words, the advice you need. And then you need to heed his advice, because the Father does know best. Relationship with our Heavenly Father is what we need, a deep and an intimate one. And the devil knows that better than anyone. That's why he's been fighting for over 2,000 years. And he's going to continue to fight us and tell us we don't need that. Even though he's read the back of the book, okay? He knows who's going to win. But he's out to take you and as many others as he can down with him. That's his goal. That is why we must trust and be confident in the Lord with all our heart, for he is there to catch you. Also, to let others know about Jesus and the miraculous grace, life-changing message that he introduced to the world at the cross. Amen. Elder Bob, head of the Great Commission Outreach Ministries. That's something that's on Bob's heart, to make sure that message gets out. So when Bob says, "Hey, I need a little bit of help," that's when we need to step it up. He's not saying, "Come and do it." He's saying, "Come along with me." And he did it. Jesus did it for everyone. What cost him so dearly, what cost him his life, he has made bountifully available for free for all who seek and ask. That's how much he truly loves us. Now, the accuser will tell you a different story. He will tell you, "Surely you can't feel like that. Nope, he didn't do that for you. The way you act and carry on." Well, let me tell you, that's condemnation. And he's good at it, isn't he? And do you know what condemnation is? It's damnation from a con. Yeah, and that's what he is. He is the biggest con man ever. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And you know you've got to tie this scripture right in there. Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. No condemnation because Jesus done whooped him good. And he already stormed the gates of hell, and he's already got the keys. Amen. When it comes to Jesus' gift of grace, you see, it doesn't matter whether you feel like you're worthy to receive it. See, thank goodness it's not based on the way you feel. See, it's based on the fact that he's already qualified you as worthy to partake and receive and inhabit his grace and favor the very moment you became born again. That very moment. The word tells us in Hebrews 13:9, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Established by grace. And once it is, your life will be revolutionized. I'm just telling you. See, and established here in this verse, it means to make stable. To make firm, immovable, immovable. I like that, immovable. See, God doesn't want us to be fearful or worried by everything that's happening in our lives that we would come up against. No. He wants us, and he wants your heart, to be at rest and established by his grace that is towards you and me. When you make it about what you think you can do, what is what, and that is what human nature wants us to do on a daily basis, moment by moment. And you know what? All that's going to lead to is a day and a time full of worries, full of anxieties, because you're the one trying to prop it up. It's like a house of cards. They're totally, easily wrecked. They're unsustainable under the pressures of life. That's why we have to trust in the Lord. But when you depend on God's grace, that is his undeserved, unmerited favor, the opposite happens. Your heart becomes established, firm, stable, immovable. When you know that the only thing that qualifies you to receive God's blessings is faith in the finished work of Christ, your heart becomes stable. Established in it. It's a free gift, folks. But you still have to accept it and you have to apply it in your life. It's like having free electricity in your house and not knowing it. See, it doesn't do you any good until you turn the power on. God wants you to know and realize on a continual basis and get it down in your heart, get it down in your being so that it becomes the very fabric of your soul, so that you know that you know that you know. Knowing that his righteousness, healing, protection, prosperity, his unlimited everything and every promise he ever made is yours all the time, all paid for by Jesus' finished work at the cross and sealed with a yes. And that is a yes in all caps. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. God's blessings are always available in your life because they are not dependent on your ability. No, they're not on your ability to do and to liberate. If they were, we would never receive any of them, would we? Thank goodness they are based on your ability to believe in the Son, His Son, Jesus, and that fact alone. Will there still be sin? Yeah, there will always be sin. There is only one who never sinned, Jesus. And because of His selfless act of love, when He died on the cross, He established once and for all that there would be no sin greater than God's grace. That grace was provided through the shed blood, His blood. The grace of Jesus' finished work covers you completely, and you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. I know. Well, what if we blow it? What if I blown it? Well, what's the word say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The grace of Jesus' finished work will allow you to focus more on Him and less on yourselves. And that's what it's really all about. More of Him, less of us in our lives. Say this with me. Say, more of Him, less of me. That's the way. It has to be. More of Him and less of me. Amen? So when God looks at you, He sees the beauty of Jesus' grace. And He doesn't dwell on your sin. No. And neither should you. If you're going to dwell on something, dwell on Jesus instead of yourself. Instead of those three stooges, me, myself, and I. They make up the yourself. So don't dwell on it, yourself or your sins. Because He's not. Because you've been forgiven. Because the more you get single focused on Jesus and His grace, the less you will want to sin. The less you will want to sin. And the more you will strive to be like Him. And isn't that what it's really all about? We should be striving to be more like Him each and every day. See, it's not a license to sin. Thanks be to God, it's a license to live. To live the abundant life. The abundant life that He has had planned for you since the beginning. Yeah, He is the great planner. And He has an awesome plan for each and every one of us in our lives. We just got to make sure we're listening to Him when He's laid out the plan. And follow the plan. Follow the plan that He has for you. And that's going to end up being a life that is so wonderful, it's going to be hard to believe that it's really there and that it does exist. But it's just waiting for one thing. One thing. You. You're the one. You go to the mirror, and that person that's looking back to you, he's the one who decides if you want to live there. See, you're the decider. It's your decision. It's your choice. Your choice. It makes you wonder, though, why more people don't. And God only knows the answer to that. For the secret things belong only unto Him, right? Isaiah chapter 55. We're going to read verses 2 and 3, Isaiah 55. And I'm going to read those to you from the ERV, Easy to Read Version. Jack's favorite version, easy. Why waste your money on something that is not real food? Why should you work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the food that satisfies your soul. Listen closely to what I say. Listen to me, so that you will live. I will make an agreement with you that will last forever. It will be an agreement you can trust. Like the one I made with David, a promise to love him and be loyal to him forever. Bert Bannon, chapter 29, verse 11, NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. We just said every day over Nico now. When God says, come to me with your ears wide open, listen and you will find life. You will find what you're looking for. Guaranteed, He will not disappoint you. God has so many good things in store for all of us in our lives. The most grand life we could ever imagine is not out of His realm of possibilities. But unless you're willing to step out of the old life and into the new, it will never happen. It's a choice. A choice to trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, too many of God's people hear about the plans He has for them, but are unwilling to embrace, accept, and apply them to their own lives. See, they know they work because they've seen them work in other people's lives. But at the end of the day, they just continually trudge on through life in mediocrity, doing what they know, what they are capable of, instead of trusting in Him, trusting in what God can do and what He longs to do for you. The sky's the limit. And people choose to only have the pie in the sky that they think that they can reach themselves. See, don't look to your own insight or understanding. Always look to Jesus and to the endless possibilities, trusting Him to bring them into your life. Last scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. New King James. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And when you know the author, you can be sure that He wants to be involved in every detail of the story, especially the story that's being written about you, with each chapter being greater than the one before. You can trust Him. Go ahead and jump. Maybe God is speaking to your heart today. Maybe the title of the next chapter of your life will read, I listened, I trusted, I jumped. Amen? Amen. Do it again, Daddy. Yeah. God bless all of you. Thank you.